Radioactive, you're going live in 3, 2, 1.
You are now listening to Radioactive.
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 You are now listening to Radioactive Youth Media.
You are now listening to Radioactive Youth Media.
You are now listening to Radioactive Youth Media's podcast.
Hey, it's Noah.
And it's Ernesto.
So, I really hate to say this right now, but it's Radioactive's last podcast of the summer.
Yeah, don't say that. Just stop. Yeah, this is the last time our rad stories will be taking action.
I mean, at least until we become advanced producers and see each other every Saturday.
Yeah. So, let's start off this podcast with our last anecdote of the day.
2 days ago, I went to Kingston with my friend and her boyfriend, and we went to this crepe place. So I ordered my crepe, and then they ordered their crepes, and one of my friend, she got an apple crepe, and there were apples and, like, almonds and stuff inside. So her and her boyfriend were sharing it, and we were just using plastic forks, and he picks it up, and then it all falls out. I'm like, oh, looks like you lost your appetite. Get it? Because it's like apples, so appetite, and he was eating it, but it looked messy, so he didn't want to eat it anymore. Plus, the apples weren't tight because they were loose and they fell out. Anyway, that's not, I know it's not a cherry on top, but, you know, apples on top are fine because we live in Washington anyway, so.
And we've lost our Sonda tight.
Oh. Oh my gosh. As always, Angela's anecdotes are so punny.
Ultra-rad, uber-fad, right?
So right.
Totally.
Anik joke, signing off.
Totally. Now, prepare to take a journey into the world of music. So, I know you know, it's like, it's not just like a place or an event. It's a feeling. Once you've experienced live music, the feeling sticks with you and makes you crave more. Music lovers say Seattle is a very supportive city for young people. But as you know, there are still some limitations. So, hey, Noah, let's listen to your story.
Hey, Seattle, y'all ready to get turned up?
It's the Capitol Hill Block Party here in Seattle. I'm standing at the back of the crowd at the main stage, waiting for ASAP Ferg to come out.
There's a lot of emotions attached to music that you don't get from, like, talking with somebody or just, like, going down the street. Like, music just affects your life in ways that other things can't.
That's my friend Mila Widmeyer. She's a singer and a volunteer at the Vera Project, an all-ages concert venue. The Capitol Hill Block Party is one of the events in Seattle where young people can go see an all-ages show. But even here, there are still places you can't go if you're not 21. Last year at the Block Party, Mila planned to see an artist that she really liked.
And then we, like, walked up to the, like, part of the Block Party where he was performing. And they were like, sorry, you have to be 21 and over. And we were all so disappointed. So we just went and we saw, like, another random show that we didn't really like all that much.
This year at Capitol Hill Block Party is no different.
It feels like you have to be, like, 21 to enjoy this right now.
Yeah, honestly, because more than half of the Block Party is 21 and over, and all of the venues are on that side, too.
Like, 4 out of 6 stages.
Yeah, like, this stage over here is the only other open stage, right?
No, she's talking about the stage sponsored by the Vera Project. It's the only other place we can go besides the main stage. Mila's 16, and I'm 17. We've related over going to shows, but we've also related over not being able to go to shows.
It really, like, disappoints me because I'm not able to get the experience of, like, live music.
Some other teens at the Block Party feel the same way. Here's Kenzo Perrone, Marco Sugarensky, and Daniel Glenn.
I just think it's unfortunate that 21 and up shows generally get the better artists.
So much of the Seattle music scene is supported by under 21 fans. That's a great group to have at your shows.
There's definitely too few all-ages shows.
Grace McKagan of the Pink Slips is an underage artist who wouldn't even be able to get into some of her own shows.
It's So a lot of times we have to play clubs that are 21 and over, and it's kind of difficult because I want my friends to come and see us and stuff, and they can't, and like we have to wait outside, play our show, and then we're done, we have to like leave.
This sort of thing happens at Numo's in Barbosa, which also act as two of the Capitol Hill Block Party stages. Steven Severin is an owner of both venues. He's been working in the music industry here for over 15 years. He says it's more expensive to put on an all-ages show.
One of the ways that we make money at the venue is obviously off alcohol sales. If you're going to have any alcohol in the building while having underage kids as well, you have to have more security. You have to have a physical separation between where the drinks are and where the kids are.
Steven says some adults just don't want to go to a show if it's not 21 and over.
I've heard it more than once of people deciding that they're not going to come because they don't want to be around younger kids. They want to be able to have the freedom to drink on the floor.
I guess that's understandable. Even now, I get a bit annoyed being around kids younger than me at concerts. In the last few decades, Seattle has gone through drastic changes to make the music scene what it is today. From 1985, the Teen Dance Ordinance restricted underage kids from going to concerts. After backlash and reform, the All-Ages Dance Ordinance was instated in 2002. This made it easier for venues to put on shows and for teens to go to them. Steven has been through it all, but from his experience with Numo's...
We do a lot of all-ages shows, and strictly the numbers that people go are pretty alarming of how few underage kids actually come.
And Mila says that the shows she's seen at the Vera Project usually don't fill up. But why? Back at the Capitol Hill Block Party, Daniel and Marco have some ideas.
Maybe the word doesn't get out enough. It seems cheaper to host a house show than it does than to show at like Numo's or something.
From the shows that I'm interested in, or that a lot of kids I know are interested in, those may be 21 and up, and maybe they're not doing the right job of pairing which shows would appeal to which audiences.
Steven has seen a lot of people who are unhappy about how things work in the music business.
So go in and change it. Go in and put on your own shows. Go be part of Vera Project, which is always all ages. And, you know, do your own work.
And here we are at the Vera stage on the last night of the Capitol Hill Block Party. People of all ages are crowded around as the Dum Dum Girls wrap up their set. I'm reminded that we're all here for the same reason, the music. For Radioactive, I'm Noah Phillips Reardon.
Wow, that was a really cool insight on like the whole music scene, because like it affects me because I've been to a lot of shows, but I just like I never knew about all the, like the different types of perspectives about it. That was really cool that you could get and talk to all those different types of people. So I really liked your story.
Thank you, Ernesto.
I had a couple of questions. So I know you were at the Capitol Hill Block Party. Like, how was that?
It was really fun. I mean, there were only two like all ages stages, and there were a few shows that I wanted to see that were like 21 and over, and I was kind of bummed about that, but I feel like I heard a lot of new things that I really liked.
Why did you want to like learn about all this these music age limits?
Well, I've like, so I started going to concerts, like actual concerts, in the eighth grade. My first was at the Paramount, and it was Macklemore opening for Blue Scholars, and I waited in line for hours and was in the front row, and it was just like a crazy experience of just live music. And from then on, I've just loved going to shows, but then I've also been affected by shows that are 21 and over. So I guess that was just something I wanted to explore and for other people to learn more about.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, I know that, like, it's really cool that you got, like, Steven's perspective, and then you went to Capitol Hill Block Party and saw all that and got perspectives from so many different types of people. But, like, was that challenging? Like, what was the most challenging part about that?
I guess the most challenging part was, like, finding my angle for the story, because there's so many different points of views. And I don't know, it was just, once it came together, it was great, but it was a lot of time spent just, should I focus on, like, why it's not 21 and over? Should I focus on, like, why kids are angry about it? Like, I had to get every perspective in the story, and that was the most challenging part for me.
That seems really cool. I loved your story.
Thank you, Ernesto. Thank you so much. So let's hear about your story. So it's also about music. Funny that we're doing this podcast together. So life is about making difficult choices. Sometimes you make them. Other times it's not really up to you. For Kathleen Gillette, life pulled the stage out from under her. Ernesto is going to tell us more about that. So here we go.
Kathleen Gillette has had a passion for singing for as long as she can remember.
Ooh, I love Lakme. I love the flower duet in that. That's one of my very favorite pieces.
She always loved singing, but performing wasn't always easy.
You know, when I was starting out in high school, I remember early on just being very afraid. I was afraid, oh, I might make a mistake. And over time, it became more that I was very excited about bringing this piece of music to the audience and really wanting to give a full experience to the folks that came to listen. I loved it. I just loved it.
She built a career nationally as an opera singer. She sang with the Mendelssohn Choir in Pittsburgh, the Gilbert and Sullivan Society in Seattle, Tacoma Playhouse, and many others for more than 15 years. Although she was a talented singer, she did have her own critics. At the time, she had 3 young children.
I'd warm up in the car, totally horrify the children.
Can you tell me a little about that?
It's loud.
Molly Gillette, one of Kathleen's daughters, describes living with an opera singer.
Especially with singing and operatic singing, it's loud. It's really, really loud. Like, she can be, you know, a full story away on the other side of the house, and it still will basically shake the walls.
They'd be sitting in there with their hands over their ears, like, stop it, Mom! Like, I gotta warm up, guys!
Then, one day, her doctor gave her news that vocal performers never want to hear. She was developing vocal nodes.
If you abuse your vocal cords, how they work, they clap together as the wind goes through them. And when things are not working right, you can actually harm them. You can actually build up little, it could be blisters. It could be like a callus.
Her doctor said her best bet would be to stop singing entirely.
It was like death. It was horrible. I loved singing. I loved being at rehearsals even when it wasn't my turn to be singing. It was wonderful to just be sitting on a floor in the corner and getting to listen to all of that fabulous music swirling all around. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. I would go home on just dancing on clouds after spending 2-3 hours in rehearsal.
The rehearsals were for La Traviata. She spent all her time on it.
In that opera, the main character finds the man she loves, but then she has to give him up. And she has to lie to him and tell him that, I never loved you, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
She felt like it mirrored what was going on in her life.
So 10 days before the production, I had to inform the producers that I was not going to be able to go on with the show. which is not me, but it's what I had to do.
This was only the first hit her career took.
That was also about the time the economy tanked and the company my husband was working for, unfortunately, had to file bankruptcy, and I felt that I had better take a full-time job too, so, you know, that's what I did.
Her dream took a backseat. Kathleen went back to school and now works in web design. Although it isn't singing, it is something that she enjoys and it fits in her life. Her daughter Molly, now at 28, better understands her mom's sacrifice.
It's a big decision to give up something that you absolutely love in order to have a family that you want. I'm always really, really glad that she got to participate in different elements of it as we grew up. She had the life that she designed, you know, singing where she can and making the most of it. And that's just fantastic.
People struggle with decisions like these their entire lives. But Kathleen never saw it as abandoning a dream. She simply saw it as an adjustment she had to make.
At this point, I think the dream has changed some because I don't have the dream of, you know, going to New York and breaking into the Met. It's just not. I wouldn't want to. Even at the time earlier, I didn't want to leave my family and not be there.
Kathleen had to be there. So she found ways to have music in her life.
I guess it's kind of like dessert. I think you always want more. Having it all is very highly overrated.
She doesn't spend time thinking about what could have been.
I don't really know, because we didn't follow the other storyline. We had what we had. And I think it's worked out pretty well.
Kathleen now lives with her husband and has found a balance between her multiple dreams. She still loves opera, but doesn't mind sitting in the audience. For Radioactive, I am Ernesto Morfin.
Oh my gosh. Ernesto, I've been waiting to hear this for so long as like a complete product, and you just did such a great job of capturing her life and her story, and I just feel that emotion and I feel inspired.
Thanks.
So, I know you spent a lot of time working on this. What made you choose this story?
I don't know. I think it's a really relatable story. I mean, not everyone's an opera singer, mind you, but I think everyone really has that like one thing or two things that they've love deeply, but they had to give up for some reason. And I have that, I've had that all my life for separate reasons, but mainly like right now is like I'm in three choirs and I love it. I love singing, but I might have to give it up next year for other reasons. And I just think of like finding that balance between like what you love doing and what you have to do as a responsibility. She's my dad's girlfriend's mother, so like she's family. And seeing that someone so close to me that I could tell her story and have everyone listen to it was a wonderful experience for me, especially since she was so accessible. And I always wondered, like, why she quit singing, and I just found out more.
So that was her singing at the beginning, right?
No, that was actually a live performance, because she did sing that song 2 years ago at a wedding, but she didn't have any recordings of her. So I had a live performance of, I think it's Elina Garanca and Anna, I can't remember her last name, but I had that under her.
But she was warming up at the beginning, right?
Oh, yeah, at the very beginning, yeah. That was her warming up, and I had her do some warm-ups, and that she liked that one the most.
So what went into your choices of song? Because there were two songs that were just beautiful that you used.
Yeah, so actually that song is, it's one song, but I had the beginning of it to start off and then the end of it to end it. And I don't know, I was trying to think of songs, and she actually talks about it. And we were sitting on a boat in Ocean Shores and we were just singing it. I remember that memory of us just singing the duet together because I know it. That's a story, a song that really, I don't know. I really love that song, and it has a lot of emotion in it.
So what was your favorite part, if you have a favorite part?
Really, my favorite part was the song in the beginning, because I put so much time in it, how it really, like, fits in is, like, when she talks about, like, her difficulties, like, it's kind of a sadder, like, tone. And then, like, it keeps on going on and on. And then, like, it starts getting positive and positive and positive until the climax where she says, I loved it. And it just, like, unfolds. And I put so much time into that, like, parallelism with her words and the song. I loved that part. And then the ending, just the... I don't know, I just find it, I love opera and I find it so beautiful.
You did an amazing job with that.
Thanks. So. I'm glad that we both chose music as story partners.
I'm so glad we did too.
That's such a funny coincidence.
Yeah, we didn't, like, I was thinking about it earlier in the week, but.
It wasn't planned at all. No. Even if I did my original story idea, we would still be doing music, so I think that was cool.
It worked out in our favor.
Yeah, so let's hear from all of our peers at Radioactive what they thought about the whole workshop.
Oh, we're in the studio right now, and it's our second to last day of Radioactive after, like, 6 weeks of...
Literally six weeks
being together every single day of the week for, like, hours on end.
Overall, I'm very, very happy that I joined this. There's no regrets, and, yeah.
Like, when I first came in here, I'm not gonna lie, I thought Ernesto was cute, but then he was gay. I don't know, like, it's like a family type thing. Like, we come in.
It's just, I just love this program. Like, I just can't believe it's ending, and I'm just gonna start, like, getting emotional and Drakey. So, now you should just take the scene right now.
Okay, well, I want to agree with Alon because I feel like we really made a community, and sometimes it's hard for me to make friends because, as you guys said before, like, in the beginning, I'm usually really shy. And then I'm mean, and then people don't want to be my friend. But this was such a great group of people.
And also, I feel like at school we're taught that, you know, we should work in teams, and, like, teamwork is how to get things done. But when you're at Radioactive, like, the only way to be productive is through teamwork. So, like, we're all here to support each other and create really awesome things. So I really will not forget that.
It doesn't matter. Like, I think that we're a group of people who are really... kind of in a lot of ways dissimilar, and we all have very different personalities, different interests, and that, like, if you throw a group of people together who are all care deeply about at least something in common, then they're going to become lifelong friends. And I feel like I have that with all of you, and so that means more to me than I can say.
Hey, HMU when I go to Wazoo. But yeah, I don't know. I think my last parting words would be just, you know, I will say this again. I've applied for this workshop 3 times, so if anybody else feels like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get in, they didn't accept me, just keep on trying, because once you actually do get it, it's ultra-rad, uber-fad.
Can I just say, every time Angela would say something, we'd all, like, take a second to get it, but Jenny would just be like, oh my god!
At least would be like...
I won't
be rude.
I'm not being rude. I just love that part. Jenny says, oh my god, and Lila laughs, like, it's like you guys,
like, she's smiling.
Oh gosh, do you guys remember on the first day when we were all, like, awkward and, like, wouldn't talk to each other, and we all thought no one was white?
Like, I remember, I'm like, oh, we're waiting for one person.
And I walk in super awkwardly, and then, like, you guys start with me, and I'm just, like, waiting for somebody to say something, like, you want to start? And you're all looking at me, and I'm like, okay, hi, my name's
Alon. And y'all thought I was, like, an adult, dude.
I thought you were an adult. You were using the glitter wrong.
I was using the glitter wrong, yeah. And I showed you, and you're like, everywhere, and I was like, oh my god.
I showed you how to use it. She's like, oh, that makes sense. You don't take off the cap. And
they all thought you all, like, first impressions thought I was Tina Fey.
So. Yeah.
That was me. Yeah.
Oh, I get, okay, I have one story.
Girl.
It was like when we were doing our horror podcast, I remember you had us watch that one, like, that one YouTube video with the old lady.
With the Llorona.
Yeah, and I love how you were just pulling, dragging Isa along inside the room.
Yeah, I was
and
I was trapped.
Like, when I first did the partner story with you, I was like, oh, she seems so innocent. Then we just get into this dark side.
Yeah, like, speaking of the scaring things, this happened to Ernesto. Okay, so, like, on, like, the first week or something, he came up behind me and tasered him, and I got him back, like, so good, because he went to the bathroom, and I waited in that, like, little alcove, and as he came out, I was like,
and then we got yelled at.
And yeah, we got yelled at. And he was like, this is a radio studio. You can't do that. And Ernesto was sitting on the floor, like, with his head between his knees. And he was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, you thought he was in labor. And I was sitting there. I was, like, laughing so hard. I couldn't breathe. And this guy's like, this is a radio studio. You need to behave. And we were
honestly, I went into this program not really, like, I knew what to expect, but at the same time, I didn't really know what to expect, because we're told we're going to spend, like, 5 days a week, like, for 6 weeks with each other, and just, like, seven other people besides myself, and you're going to create all of these stories, and I was like, wow, like, I have some ideas, but I don't know how it's going to work out in the end. And now that it's the final week, I feel like I've learned so much about, one, like, making radio programs and, like, making stories come to life. And then also, like, editing and just all of that technical stuff. But then also about myself, because I just didn't know I could tell a story, and I didn't know I could, like, do all of this, like, I can't believe it's over. Like, I can't believe we accomplished this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, coming into this, just, like, I don't know. I totally feel it. This was, like, my first, I guess, job ever. It's an internship, but, like, it's kind of like a job. We come in so much.
Yeah.
And I've never had that before. So, like, it was just so crazy. Especially since I live pretty far away with both of my, like, every other week I have to come from Seattle or Federal Way, but Federal Way is, like, it takes, like, an hour and a half to get here. It's like, oh God, I have to do this for, like, 3 weeks. And just, like, actually having done it, it's just so crazy and surreal that, like, we did all this, and, like, we came in every day at, like, really early in the morning, and we made stories, and we just told stories. And that's a really cool experience, because, like, I'm an actor, but, like, just different types of storytelling through, like, all this editing and all this, like, vocal expression all coming together in this beautiful, like, artwork is just an amazing experience, and I'm so glad I got to do this.
Did you take the bus every day, too?
Yeah. Except for one time when I was almost late, so I had made my dad drive me.
Did you get, like, I don't know, I looked forward to the bus ride every day. I was like, it's so comforting. You get to, like, mine was, like, a 30-minute bus ride.
Yeah.
Still,
I liked the bus ride home was just, like, two buses, so it was, like, a very long bus ride. So, like, I would watch, like, I think I watched, like, Netflix and then, like, and watch YouTube videos and then read books and then, like, finish all the editing that I had to do and write my scripts and stuff when I had downtime. And it was actually kind of relaxing, like, ending it like that after, like, eating a meal on the Ave.
So hip. You're so hip. Oh my God.
Gosh.
I can't believe it's over. I'm like, I don't know. It's going to get really emotional tomorrow and just.
At the party, yeah. I swear I'm going to come into Radioactive on Monday, like, not remembering.
But, like, yeah, me too. Like, hey guys, oh, no one's here.
Yeah, it's going to be all dark and they're like, I'm going to press the button. It's going to be like the beep, beep, and then, like, no one's going to answer.
No, they'll answer, but they'll just be like, you're not. Yeah, like,
what are you doing here? Oh, gosh. But, yeah.
I can't believe we have to say goodbye, but thank you for everyone else who spent this 6 weeks with us and helped us with this podcast and everything else. So, thank you to Nia Price Nascimento, Angela Nguyen, Issa Talija, Maria Kwogden, Alam Ibrahim, and Megan O'Kelly.
Yeah. Thank you for all your guys' help, and especially helping on this podcast and helping us throughout the whole workshop and getting bubble tea with us and just all the small things that make it work. And a special thanks to Jenny Asarno for running such an amazing program, and Leela Kataya for spending all your time helping us and having such an amazing laugh that got us through it. And Sonda Tight and Carol Smith for spending all those long hours editing with me and all those long meetings dealing with me, because I know I'm a handful. And last but not least, to my amazing co-host for doing the last podcast with me. You're absolutely fabulous and amazing and awesome.
Ernesto, I'm going to, like, tear up. But thank you so much. And
can't believe we're wrapping this up right now, but I've loved spending time with you, and you're just always such a great ball of energy. Also, a thank you to Jenny, who helped me edit my story and get it in the direction that it definitely should have been going in. And then thank you to Leela, who just helped me so much and was there when I like needed advice, and just to text her and know that she would reply and help me with whatever I needed for my story. And everyone else, we love you so much.
So much. Yeah. Find out all about A Progress as Advanced Producers in the future by liking us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media.
Also, you can look at our stuff on kow.org/radioactive, and you can follow us on Twitter at KOW Radioactive, and just listen to all of our podcasts and all of our stories, and look for our names because we'll be making a lot more.
This is really depressing, but I have to say, signing off for the very last time, I am Ernesto Alejandro Morfin Montes de Oca.
And I'm Noah Phillips Reardon. From all of us at Radioactive,
goodbye for now.
Which way?